the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. Brother Bert is taking a day off today, so I'm your host, Jim Stanley, and joining me is the forever faithful Alex McFarland.
Well, we've got a faithful Savior. Amen. And what an honor it is to preach His Word.
It is, and you know, Alex, that's, I always appreciate that about you, that you do not take that for granted, that you will go anywhere, almost any time, to preach to anyone. And it doesn't have to be a large church. It can be a small church, a medium-sized church, or a coliseum. You know, wherever you go, you take the same word, and that's the gospel of the preparation of peace, isn't it?
Well, it is. It is. And that's why I'm so thrilled for the American Family Radio Network to have a program like Exploring the Word. You know, Jim, I was doing a little show prep earlier today, and I was reading a study about the churches that are thriving and the people that come to Christ and stay with Christ. And just, you know, everybody's wanting to know what works nowadays. And it's so beautiful and so simple. It's the Word of God. When lives are being changed and people, you know, stay with the stuff and walk with Christ, it's the degree to which the churches, the ministries, the organizations are based on the Word of God. And, you know, you and Bert and me, you know, we like to talk and research and give our, you know, perspective, and that's great. But it is the Word of God, the Bible, God's Word, that's eternal forever and makes tangible, lasting change in life, doesn't it?
Absolutely. Amen. Well, today, Todd Friel is going to join us. Todd Friel from Wretched Radio and Wretched TV is going to be joining us in just a few minutes, because today we're going to talk about something that's in the Christian news, if you will. And most of the time, we don't go into news of the day type issues. However, what's happened here is something. I reached out to Alex earlier today and told him what I'd like to do, and he was in favor of it. And so, first of all, I want to be really clear that just as the Bible says, there is there now for no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the ways of the world, but after the ways of Christ. And Alex, in saying that, what we're going to talk about today are some comments that Lauren Daigle made on another radio show last Friday, I believe. And now, folks, this isn't something that someone said Lauren said. This isn't someone misinterpreting something Lauren said. This is something that Lauren said. And it was, to me, it was just so egregious that it shouted out to be, you know, to be called on and talked about, and especially on Exploring the Word, because we want to make sure that we always present things from a biblical view, but at the same time that we show the same grace and mercy that we have also been shown. And so with that in mind, one of the first things I want to do is go ahead and play a couple of questionable clips from that interview this past week. And Brent's got that ready for us. And so we're going to listen to clip one first and break it down a little bit.
She's just a beautiful person.
Yeah. But people don't understand. I don't know if you know about the show. So I'm a celebrity publicist and have been for 12 years. And I've also been a Christian for, 18? So it's like people just, they don't know what they're talking about, and they're critical, and they got like these really strange, strict standards. Going on Ellen is something that your career really needs. You know, I mean, you've gone mainstream, and you got a huge person reaching out, and you would be really foolish to turn that down and be like, "No, you're gay." You know, honestly,
perfect way to end your career.
And you heard, again, this is not someone quoting Lauren. This is not someone, and friends, I invite you to listen to the whole interview. You can find it at christianpost.com. That's christianpost.com, and also at onenewsnow.com. I believe we have a story there as well. And by the way, welcome to the program, the Honorable Dr. Great Intelligent Man, Todd Friel.
Okay, are your notes goofed up? Who are you talking about?
Well, how about I just go with my friend Todd Friel?
There you go.
That'll work.
How are you, Jim?
I'm good, sir. And Alex McFarland is on with us as well today.
Hi, Todd.
And
hello, Alex.
Todd, I didn't ask you about that clip, but I know that you've listened to the whole thing and you've reviewed the whole thing. From what Lauren says there, that would have been the way to end her career, by refusing to go on Ellen's show. Now, let me be clear. I think she hit a good lick going on Ellen's show, because she was able to take the gospel to Ellen where other folks may not have been able to. But the question is, what gospel did she take? And so in saying that would have ended her career, does it sound to you guys like she's not fully committed to who the source of her success is?
Well, I think there are several things that are worthy of our consideration as we see what really is the latest Christian, and I don't mean this pejoratively, but the latest Christian celebrity to waffle on something that the Bible is crystal clear about. There's just no mistaking the Bible's position on this. And unless you've skipped over the book of Leviticus, Romans chapter 1, 1 Corinthians 6, 1 Timothy talks about this issue also. How she has missed this, I don't understand. And I think, Jim, this is just the beginning of what I think is going to be just a cavalcade of Christians who kind of get soft on this particular issue. This issue, this is why this has practical application for all of us. This issue, in my opinion, is going to be the litmus test question for tolerance. If you answer mm-hmm. this on the wrong side of our politically correct society's position on this, you will not be tolerated. You will not be successful. You will not be allowed to speak. So I think that Lauren's equivocation on something that should have been pretty simple is just the beginning of what I think could be the great purging of the evangelical church because of this particular issue.
Mm. Mm. What I'm going to do now is I'm going to go ahead and play the second clip, and part of that is what Todd was just referring to. Brent, go ahead and play clip two for us.
Do you feel that homosexuality is a sin?
You know, I can't honestly answer on that in the sense of I have too many people that I love that they are homosexual. I don't know. I actually had a conversation with someone last night about it, and I was like, I can't say one way or the other. I'm not God. So when people ask questions like that, that's what my go-to is. Like, I just say read the Bible and find out for yourself. And when you find out, let me know, because I'm learning too.
Mm.
Wow, you're a pro already. Next question is...
All right. And so from that, by the way, you can hear that interview. It was Dominique Natty, whose program she was on last week. And guys, one of the things that he said is that he's been a Christian for 18 years. And so it kind of makes you wonder where this worldview is going. And again, we're not here to cast condemnation on anyone, because the scripture is clear. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so what we're looking at in this is that, and in fact, one of the scriptures you mentioned a moment ago is what Alex and I are going to cover in a little bit there in 1 Corinthians, the 6th chapter. But guys, on this, I mean, this is, you know, are you saved? Well, yes. What does it mean for you to be saved? You know, what does that mean for you? Is homosexuality a sin? Yes. Is adultery a sin? Yes. Is overeating a sin? Yes. I mean, all of these things. But one of the things about this is that people are so, and even her statement, I can't honestly say. Well, does that mean she has a view that she believes, but she doesn't want to say because she didn't want to hurt anybody's feelings? Either one
I
of
think
you take
so.
That.
That's part of it. I think because yeah. she indicated that she's got some friends who are gay, And so she wouldn't want to say something that would be offensive or hurt them. And that is having either relationships or emotions supersede our theology. So I think you're onto something with that, Jim. But let me ask you to ask me the question, is murder wrong? Go ahead.
Is murder wrong?
Well, you know, I'm not God, so I can't say that, you know, that's, so if you read about it in the Bible, let me know, because I'm still learning too. You would think that answer to be preposterous. Just replace this particular sin with another sin. And
exactly.
Unfortunately, that answer is a bit of a cop-out and some chin boogie in my estimation. And if I could, gentlemen, when I was sitting on hold waiting for you to pick up the phone with me, I heard you talking about Romans 8:1. This cannot be stressed enough. I think historically, when we look back on the issue of homosexuality, I think the church has done a fine job of stating it's a sin that needs to be repented of. But I wonder if we could do a little bit better at proclaiming Romans 8:1, which is fascinating because Paul in Romans 7 is talking about his battle with sin, his battle with the flesh. He's got one new redeemed nature, but he's got this unredeemed carcass that he battles with.
Right.
And he ends the chapter by saying, "O wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God for the Lord Jesus Christ." Now we get to Romans 8:1, and in Greek, there's something called the emphatic position. You put the thing that you want to stress the most at the beginning of the sentence. So Paul does that, and he picks the most emphatic word he can to say, no, it's uden. So let me, with the word order of the Greek, shout this out to anybody who is listening so that you can hear the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, who will save me from this body of death? Thanks be to God for our Lord Jesus Christ. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. The message that we should be sharing at this time is it is absolutely a sin. Join the sinner club and join the repentance and faith club, because all of your sins, not just your sin of homosexuality, but all of your sins can be forgiven and there will be no condemnation for you.
Great. You know, guys, as we look at that, I'm sorry, Alex, go ahead, brother.
Well, I was going to say, you make a good point, Todd, because, you know, for us in our generation, let's say 20 years ago, homosexuality was an issue. For millennials and younger today, homosexuality is a person. And their empathy or their supposed empathy for another person trumps the Word of God in their mind. And the Word of God is unequivocally clear that, homosexuality is a sin. 1 Corinthians 6 has a great grocery list of people that if they want to go to heaven, they must repent of their sin. And I think about this, and Todd, I would love your response. Go ahead.
Okay. Alex, we'll save that question until we come back from the break, because we've got a hard break coming up. And folks, I appreciate you tuning in with us this afternoon. I'm Jim Stanley, along with Alex McFarland, and Todd Friel is our guest. You can find out more about Todd at wretched.org, wretched.org. Todd, I'm going to put you on the spot. Can you hang with us a little bit longer?
No.
All right.
No. Stop bothering.
All right. Exploring the Word continues right after this on AFR.
It gives an impetus to share your faith when you think you've got answers to objections that you expect people to bring up.
The American Family Studios video series, Intro to God's Revelation, featuring Dr. Richard Howe, shows how God has revealed Himself in nature and His Word, and how we can rightly understand what God has said.
These truths are just a part and parcel of the Christian life. It isn't just for the professional clergy.
Learn the fundamentals of how to approach and understand the Bible in an age of skepticism. This 6-week video curriculum is perfect for your Sunday school class or study group, and it can prepare you to give a defense of God's Word and how He speaks to us in nature.
Knowing whether and how God communicates is a safeguard against false claims about God communicating.
Intro to God's Revelation, DVDs and workbook are available for purchase at afastore.net or call 877-927-4917.
If you multiply any number by zero, you get zero, nothing. Dr. Tony Evans says that same principle applies to faith. He'll explain today as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain? Washing my eyes to see your majesty. To be still and know that you're in this place.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word. Todd Friel, that song was just for you, my brother. I don't think I've ever heard you object to Mercy Me.
Are those guys from Atlanta?
No, they're from Texas.
Now, that's what I said, Texas.
Yeah, that's what, yeah. There you go. But that's a side joke between Todd and I because we've known each other for years. Alex, go ahead now, brother, with the question that you were trying to set up just before the break.
Oh, well, good. I was piggybacking on Todd's observation just a little bit. But, you know, in 1 Corinthians 6, 9 through 11, there lists a lot of people, and, you know, somewhere all of us are in all of these lists of people that are liars and immoral and idolaters and adulterers and all these different things. And, yes, in that grocery list of people that will not go to heaven unless they repent, there are homosexuals and one word, malakos, that in the Greek might refer to transgender, but it says, you know, as such were some of you. So here's my question that to any of the people that would equivocate on homosexuality, if we have the right to declassify one sin, suddenly homosexuality is not a sin anymore. Well, if we have the right to do that, then why is murder still a sin, or theft, or fornication, or lying? And of course, the answer is we don't have the right to declassify any sins. If something was wrong, it still is wrong. And I just wish that Lauren Daigle and more Christians, some others I could name, but won't. But I wish they would have the courage to unequivocally say, the Word of God says this. Do we love people? Sure, we love people. But we love people enough that we're going to stand on the only thing that can give them salvation, which is Jesus Christ and His Word.
Amen. And you know, guys, all three of us have preached the gospel. However, all three of us are still sinners. The difference is that we're sinners saved by grace who have made our confession to Christ, who have repented to Christ. And because of that, we have had the opportunity to be made part of His body. We've been adopted into His family. And that same thing is true for everyone. And that's the thing I love about what Paul says there. As such were some of you. That pretty well covers it.
Past tense verb, were some of you.
So,
you know, but we repented.
Go ahead, Todd.
If we really love people, we will, you know, maybe this has happened to you. You're out with some friends, you have dinner, you get home, you go to the mirror to do your evening routine, and you look at your teeth and you realize you've got green stuff in there from the salad that you ate. Now, your real friends are going to say, Jim, you got to do something, get some Glide floss, take care of that, buddy, because I love you.
Yeah.
When we don't tell the truth, that isn't loving. So Lauren's plea that she's, you know, being all soft on this issue, that's not a loving thing to do. If we truly care about the lost, we'll be willing to speak the hard words. And Alex, you bring up an excellent point. You take one brick out of the sin wall, and the whole thing crumbles down. And I think it's a good reminder for us to ask the question, why do we insist on this? Well, it's because God insists. Why do we? Look, if two people are doing something that's fun, it makes them feel good, why should we be concerned about that? Well, it's not because of my preference or my attitude. It's because this is what God says. And let me just throw one more thing out there for y'all to consider. as this issue is beginning to become kind of the camel's nose underneath the church's tent here and starting to get in. There was a conference called Revoice. I believe you covered that, didn't you, Jim?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, the Revoice conference. And what some people are proposing is celebrate your gayness. It's okay to be gay. Just don't act on it. And while that maybe sounds really like, okay, they're trying to be sanctified by not acting on their desires, God looks deeper. Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, thou shalt not commit adultery. I say, look, with lust you committed adultery in your heart. God goes deeper than just externals. He goes to the internals. And there's a group of folks who are trying to say, nope, that's not true. You can still have those desires. Just don't act on it. And I would say to that, it's as ridiculous as the scenario that I shared with you before. Mm-hmm. If I said to you, I know that you've got murderous tendencies, just don't act on them. Just, you can go ahead and think about murdering. You can desire murder. Just don't actually commit murder. You go, no, that's not right. And the same thing is true with sexuality.
Wow. Right.
We need, as believers, to be rooting out even the desire.
Well,
yes.
And when you look at it, and you shared an illustration earlier, but when you look at that, you talk about what you would do for someone you love and how you would stand up to that. Well, it's almost like they're on a diving board. And this, you know, when you look at the statistics from the CDC, the government CDC, and you talk about the unhealthiness of the lifestyle on its own without bringing in the morality, and then when you bring in the morality, you can see how much more dangerous it is. So you have someone that's on a diving board, and they're bouncing on the diving board, and because there's a diving board at the pool, one automatically assumes there's water in the pool. This would be like you standing on the side of the pool, watching your friend climb the ladder, bounce on the diving board without saying, hey, there's no water, and they dive anyway.
Yeah. And,
but I care
you know,
about you. I really like you.
Right.
Don't worry about the jump. Not only that, Jim, but if Lauren Daigle has friends that are gay and she doesn't want to hurt their feelings or judge them, they know she's a Christian. And so this gets compounded in that they presume, therefore, they're all right to go with God. God is good with them. I'm good with God. The Christian worship leader said that I'm okay.
Mm.
Now, that just undermines the gospel. It undermines, well, pretty much the entire Bible.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, folks,
Let me just throw this in there. Listen, I get it. People don't want to, you know, kick a hornet's nest, and they don't want to make people mad or anything like that. But what I would say to Lauren Daigle or any Christians that are getting soft on, you know, calling out sin, if you put more weight on the approval of your peers and those mm-hmm. around you rather than being faithful to God, that's called idolatry.
Mm-hmm.
At the same time, I've had people say, And you know, for millennials and younger, it's their best friends. Well, my friend is gay and he's a good person. For grandparents, it's like, well, my nephew, my grandson, my granddaughter is gay, and I just fail to believe they're not a good person. Here's the thing. Listen very carefully, folks. If you put more stock in the deservedness of a person rather than the holiness and truth of God, that too is idolatry. And while we don't want to offend people, how about offending or not offending the one who gave his life to save us, Jesus?
Amen.
And you know, in 2 Corinthians, you know, Paul says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. In other words, we are to, you know, 2 Corinthians 5:11, it says that in Christ's stead, we beg you, be reconciled to God. We've got to remember, we are representatives for Jesus in a fallen, dark world. And people, and you mentioned Revoice, and my goodness, there's so much we could say. Leaders in the church right now that are getting paid money with evangelical tithes and offerings are out there making friendship with the enemies of God and the enemies of Scripture. I fear for them on the day that they give an account before Christ, their master, because we're not doing the world or our Lord any favors by equivocating on this point.
No. Well, folks, our guest has been Todd Friel. I'm going to give you the, I'm going to give you another shot, brother. But you can find out information about Todd at wretched.org. That's wretched.org. And go ahead, brother. I'm sorry.
Well, I think, Alex, there's twice you've mentioned that it's very personal for millennials. They know somebody. The first thing I would say is I think we all need to remember that when we're talking about this issue, that there are actual human beings that struggle with this, and we don't want to repel them unnecessarily. We want them to have their sins, all of them, forgiven. It's been said rightly, we're supposed to speak truth in love, and if you can't do both, don't do either. The second thing that I would simply add to the conversation, Alex, based on what you said, is making sure that we understand the distinction. I believe that there are two types of homosexual people. One group is tripping through life. They're doing their thing. They're living the way that they want to. They're sinners. They're the harvest field. There's a much smaller group that are trying to undermine the authority of the Bible. That puts them into a different class. To those people, they become enemies of the gospel. The other group, which I think is the vast majority, they're the ones that we want to be the recipients of the gospel, and to see most of them not as enemies of the cross, although there certainly are some, but to simply see them as the harvest field.
Good point.
Well, I think that is an excellent point. Hey, Todd, thanks so much for being with us this afternoon.
Always a pleasure, you guys.
Right. Take care, brother.
For you.
That's Todd Friel. He is the host of Wretched Radio, and wretched.org is his website. Alex, you know, as we look back at some of the things that were said there, I think his parting comment was probably one of the best, because the scripture, John 3:16, hasn't changed because of what Lauren Daigle said.
Right.
You know,
right.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And I've already answered emails today on the Lauren Daigle issue. And in thinking that through, I think he's right. I think we all know someone who is gay or who's living the gay lifestyle. And I think that he mentioned one, you know, he mentioned there were two groups. I would submit that part of that first group he mentioned, that they are just simply, I had the word and it's left me, deceived. Mm-hmm. They are simply deceived, and this is another one of those things that Satan has taken a piece of fruit from the tree of God and has said, look, you can do this. And somebody says, well, that's a sin. And Satan comes back and says, but is it really? I mean, you love each other. You want to have a life together. You know, you want to live a life that it's just the two of you, and everybody loves everybody, and I'm faithful and whatnot. So is it really still a sin? Well, the question is yes. Or the answer is yes.
Yeah, and let me say about the assertion that homosexuality doesn't really hurt anybody. In 2012, the University of Texas, there was a survey, a representative sample. It was quoted in a journal called the Social Science Research Survey, and it talks about not only gay couples, but children raised in same-sex homes. And let me just say the stats are overwhelmingly, really heartbreaking in terms of abuse, molestation, being forced to do things against your will, substance abuse, and then you've got things like cutting and self-mutilation and suicide. Now, quickly, activists will say, well, yeah, gays in America die 15 to 22 years sooner because of all you homophobics, and you make people feel bad. But the stats are the same for Europe and places like the Netherlands, which have been very gay-affirming since the 70s. And over there, the diminished lifespans of both gay men and gay women are clear. And certainly, you can't blame it on any alleged homophobia over there in the Netherlands. Now, let me say this. People that experience same-sex attraction, some Christian leaders that I think are a little soft on this. They'll say, well, some people are born gay, but they just shouldn't act on it. I categorically disagree because psychology shows us that gender confusion, gender dysphoria, and same-sex attraction is always the result of pain, whether it's early childhood molestation, whether it's lack of bonding with the parent of the same sex, early childhood trauma, bullying. And during those late childhood years where we go from late childhood to pre-adolescence, and we're trying to, you know, boys are discovering kind of how to be masculine and be young men. Girls are discovering how to be feminine and young ladies. And look, there's no accident, Jim, that now we're nearly 50 years in to no-fault divorce, the breakdown of the family. There's a reason that the explosion of gender confusion and same-sex attraction has come along in the aftermath of the breakdown of the family. And so, friends, homosexuality is destructive physically, psychologically, emotionally, and without Christ, even spiritually. So if we love our neighbor, we're not going to encourage them in something that would not only shorten their lifespan here, but imperil their soul in eternity.
You know, when we're looking at the scripture there in 1 Corinthians in the 6th chapter, when you look at verse 18, it says, "Flee fornication. Every sin that a man doeth is without the body, but he that committeth fornication sinneth against his own body." And then Paul asks the one-word question, "What? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." Not mine, not yours, not ours, but God's.
Yeah. I mean, we're not our own, really. And by the way, I've said that transgenderism is the ultimate form of moral relativism, because what you're saying is, God, you have no claim on me. It's one thing to say God can't tell me how to behave, but transgenderism, which is really a subset of the gay movement, says, you know, God can't even tell me who I am. I was born XY chromosome male. No, God has no claim over me. Spurgeon said this, that homosexuality was the only sin that caused hell to fall down from heaven onto the city of Sodom. The fire from heaven fell. Now, again, yeah, we love people. But we love people, and we care enough, and as hard as it is, and hey, let me say, you know, there's the body count of faithful Christians who lost their jobs and ministries because they spoke God's truth on this issue is rising daily. And there, maybe, Jim, we ought to do a show on that, because I know stuff from denominations and the parachurch world that will blow your mind about how people are caving on this issue. But we're going to stand strong for Jesus. We're going to stand in love, but we are going to stand in truth for the glory of God our Savior.
You know, that was one of the emails that I'd gotten from someone earlier today about this whole issue and the fact that it's no longer being preached from the pulpit, in some pulpits. Let me be very clear about that. But also the person in the pulpit nowadays may be a practicing homosexual, may be in a same-sex relationship.
God help us.
And so that's what this listener had pointed out, you know, is look, not only has it moved from here to here, but now it's being represented as okay in the church. So we do have to be careful with that. Folks, we'll take your phone calls at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840, and we'll come back and polish this off right after this on an AFR.
Behold, children are a heritage from the Lord. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. In a moment of candor, Dylan Pontiff, one of the organizers of a Louisiana Drag Queen Story Hour event, admitted what many Christians have long known to be true. Pontiff, a self-described homosexual man who also performs in nightclubs as a drag queen, admitted the Drag Queen Story Hour events are intended to, quote, groom the next generation, end quote. He made the striking admission during a city parish council meeting. The World offers 3 to 8-year-olds drag queen story hours for grooming. The church often offers graham crackers and apple juice. We must evangelize and disciple our children. If we don't, the world will.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
As they left the manger, they couldn't keep quiet about what they had seen. They told everybody. Their lives would never again be the same. The sky would never again seem so dark. They would know that just as they had kept watch over their flocks, there was now somebody keeping watch over them.
Join Dr. David Jeremiah for his series, Why the Nativity, next time on Turning Point.
5:30 a.m. and 7 p.m. Central on American Family Radio.
This is Frank Affney, host of Secure Freedom Radio. It's your personal daily intelligence briefing about the challenges we face, how they're likely to affect you, and what we can do about them. You can find Secure Freedom Radio here every weeknight at 11 p.m. Eastern Time. Tune in to learn from our extraordinary experts what you need to know and will want to share. Join us for Secure Freedom Radio tonight at 11 Eastern, right here on AFR.
When hymn writer Isaac Watts published his Hymns and Spiritual Songs in 1707, there were no organs installed in churches in the New England colonies. Issues surrounding instruments and music used in worship was controversial among the congregational churches of New England.
New England ministers instead insisted that metrical psalters be used for congregational singing, primarily using the Bay Psalm Book.
In thy goodness, O God, for them.
The preface to the Bay Psalm Book said, "The Psalms are to be translated into our English tongue, and in it, our English tongue, we are to sing them. Then, as all our English songs do run in meter, so ought David's Psalms to be translated into meter, that so we may sing the Lord's songs."
Engage with the history of the Bible in America.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
You're listening to Exploring the Word.
Let His word be your strength and hold on to the promises. Hold on to the promises. Jesus is alive, so hold.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley along with Dr. Alex McFarland. And our guest earlier this hour was Todd Friel from Wretched Radio and wretched.org. You know, Alex, as we begin to take these phone calls at 888-589-8840, that's 888-589-8840, we'll be happy to talk about this topic. But I want to set this up because, Alex, we aren't going to take any hate speech this afternoon. I don't think that's what this program's called to do. I don't think we're called to hate anyone. And we need to be careful that we, because if we, it goes back to what Todd said earlier, is that we have to be able to meet these people who are part of the harvest just as we would meet someone else that, you know, let's say we have someone who's caught in adultery. Well, what do? We bring that to Christ. And then just as the woman taken in adultery, Christ said, you know, I forgive you. And so since all these other people have left, I'm not going to be the one to stone you. And so go your way and commit this sin no more. So we have this, we understand, and folks, this is something that we all have to understand. We are all sinners, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But isn't it incredible to know that He didn't leave us there, that He didn't leave us without hope, that He went on to tell us there, be in verse 24 of the third chapter of Romans, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So He didn't leave us there just that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. He goes on to tell us in verse 24 and verse 25 there that there's more to this story. There's more to this story of forgiveness. And so that's how I want to take these phone calls this afternoon. And so as we move into that, just remember that we're doing this from a warning standpoint and not a hate standpoint. So we're going to move on. All right? Alex, Amen. Did you have anything you wanted to point out before I take the calls?
Well, I love that Billy Graham quote where Billy Graham said, God accepts us as we are, but he loves us too much to leave us that way.
Amen. That's good stuff. Well, we're going to talk to Prudence calling from Texas. Prudence, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Thank you for taking my call. Well, I was calling because, you know, we hear a lot of the preachers talking against homosexuality. And what I want to bring up is you tell us what not to do, but how do we love our LGBTQ brothers and sisters? And there are people in that community who do love Jesus and who do see him as their father and feel bad even about what their own feelings to the point of suicide. You know, why would anyone choose that for themselves? You know, it's portrayed in the Christian circles and, you know, different radio shows that they're just opening up, having a good old time, going, you know, dressing up and everything. And that's really not what their lives are like. So what do we do? And I really want to caution the pastors and people who teach us to not heap burdens on people that they themselves can't carry.
You know? Well, I think that's a great point there, Prudence, and that how do we love the LGBT community? Well, it's pretty easy. And I say that, you know, in all honesty. How do we love the alcoholic? You know, how do we love the person with anger issues? How do we love the fat guy? How do we love those that come against us, you know, with ill will or someone that has deceived us? You know, how do we love those folks? Well, we love them one day at a time. And the difference is that we may accept that they are in a homosexual relationship. We may accept that they have chosen to live in that, but we don't condone it, just as though we would not condone alcoholism. You know, you wouldn't go and get a bottle of whiskey for someone who's an alcoholic and say, hey, don't drink that. Bad for you. You know, so we have to be careful, but I think we love them by being real. You know, invite them to dinner. Let them know that you're going to love them regardless of what your personal cost may be. But the thing there is not to become trapped in that, and don't move from acceptance to condoning what the action is. We have to be very careful that we still let folks know sin, sin. Alex?
Well, you know, it's interesting. The Bible never does, in its condemnation of sin, it never does really take into account the alleged causes of our, you know, aberrant behaviors. It doesn't say, Saul was wanting to murder David. But you got to understand, Saul had it hard coming up. And therefore, you know, his sinful desires are somehow ameliorated. And with the case of homosexuality, you know, are people born gay or not born gay? I mean, my studies in developmental psychology and even research that I've been working on up until this weekend, because I'm finishing a book on this that will come out in June. I mean, clearly, even the most cutting-edge research from mental health professionals shows that gender confusion, same-sex attraction, is a response to pain and trauma. So it's not genetic, it's environmental. But even if it weren't, doesn't matter. The Bible doesn't make any distinction over the causes of our sinful proclivities. It says, repent. And John 8:32, it says, the truth will set you free. Mm. Now, there's an argument the caller brought up. A lot of people will say, and I've had people in debates say this, they'll say, you know, the struggle I've had, the agony, the inner turmoil, you think I would choose this? Well, look, our emotions can often blind us to what our motives or reactions are. But I know this. Everybody wants to feel like they belong. They want three things: acceptance, significance, and security. Mm-hmm. Now, I've had people say this. They'll say, you know, I'm in this lifestyle and, you know, I'm not happy. I don't feel completely fulfilled. But, hey, at least somebody in this world loves me. Now, it's very hard for people that They've felt like they've spent their whole life lost at sea, and they find this community where they think they find some acceptance, significant security. There's got to be something really compelling for them to let go of that. Now, we've got to give the world Jesus, but in the church, we have to be the koinonia, the called out community where people know they can come, and while they get their lives rebuilt, and while they get their life conformed to the image of Jesus, they will be loved, received, and welcomed unconditionally, not in sin, but as they're in the process of turning from sin.
All right. Prudence, great question this afternoon. We sure appreciate your call. Liza, we'll get to you in just a moment, but there's someone that disagrees with our stance on homosexuality. Joe, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, thanks for having me on. I really appreciate what you guys are doing.
Well, thank you.
As I'm driving through Arkansas here, I enjoy listening to people preaching the Word of God, and I truly admire and appreciate what you're doing. However, I look at the homosexuality issue as something, you know, God created people, and when God created people, he created people with flaws. You know, you had mentioned alcoholism, you had mentioned, you know, maybe somebody that takes drugs, or even somebody that follows evil. However, homosexuality, though, is not something that is inherently evil because, you know, as you said earlier, it's not exactly a choice. You know, choice is, you know, if I'm going to define choice, choice is what the stewardess says, coffee or tea. That's a choice. Or, you know, Coke or Pepsi, or smoking or non-smoking.
All right, but Joe, help me out here. And Alex, I want you to weigh in on this as well. Okay. But Joe, tell me how it's not a choice.
Because if it was a choice, if it was truly a choice, if me and you were in a room filled with 10, let's say, unattractive women, and there was one gorgeous man, we're going to take the unattractive women. If you say it's a choice, what you're telling me is you would choose to do it. You would choose to be a homosexual. Or I would choose to be a homosexual.
Or I choose not to be. I choose to be a heterosexual.
No, you did that. No, you were born to be a heterosexual. You're attracted to women.
No, disagree.
Hey, Joe, I'm gonna put you on hold so that we can let Alex have a chat.
And thanks for listening. I honestly, truly appreciate you listening.
Absolutely.
One thing that I would have to disagree with, in the beginning of your question, you said that God created people good and evil. Completely false. God created people over and over. He says, it is good, it is good, it is good.
Mm.
Now, we were in a perfect relationship with God. Now, what God did give us is free will and the moral ability to make moral choices. Now, what's happened, the reason that we have liars, murderers, promiscuous, heterosexuals, and homosexuals is because what we've done, we've used our free will to disobey God, and that's been compounded and compounded. But God did not make people evil. He gave us the ability to make moral choices. The other thing I would say, though, men and women are born male or female. We're not born hetero or homo. We're born male or female. Jesus said that. In the beginning, God created them male and female. Now, what we choose to do with our bodies, in line with God's word or contrary to it, moral or immoral, good or evil, we make moral choices. And many of those choices are influenced by our environmental stimuli. But no, 1,000 times no. God is not schizophrenic. He would not make you a certain way and then forbid you to be that way. So I appreciate you very much, but there's no way to reconcile the human endorsement of what God condemns.
Amen. Joe, thanks for the call this afternoon. We do appreciate it, and thank you for listening and engaging in a respectful debate. Liza, welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hi. I have a son that has chosen to live this lifestyle after being raised as a Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Decided to do it in his 30s. It has tore our family apart. It's gut-wrenching pain as a parent. His siblings are hurt. He was brought up in church, a Christian, was very involved in our church. God gave him a beautiful gift of voice. He's thrown all this away to choose this lifestyle. I know he knows the word. He tells me it will not keep him out of heaven. He doesn't believe that. He feels like he's always felt this way since the first grade. And I've told him, I don't believe that. I think he's chosen this lifestyle. I have chosen as a parent to love him, to cherish him. He is still my son's son. I do not condone his lifestyle. He knows that. His siblings don't condone it. But I'm going to love him through it. And I'm holding on to God's promises, because I hated that verse when you bring up a child. You know what I'm trying to say?
Yes, ma'am.
He will not turn away from it.
Mm-hmm. When he's older, he won't depart.
I got real angry with God about that verse. I said, and I in my pain and my hurt, you know, and I had to ask God's forgiveness. I told him that was a lie. And it really bothered me that I said that to God, but I did. And I don't understand why, but I was reading a devotion one day, and it was in Jeremiah, I think. I've got it written down in the house. But I was crying over my son, and it was where somebody was weeping, Rachel, for her children, and he said, weep not, quit your weeping. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Mm-hmm.
That verse is stop your weeping, and your children will come back to the border. And I just keep holding on to that as a promise from God, because it came out of nowhere. But I would like to know, I don't know what made my son choose this lifestyle. I can't think of any trauma in his life. I can't think of any reason at all that he would choose this lifestyle. But I would like to know, and I have studied, you know, and tried to figure this out, tried to wrap my head around it. I've hidden, I've done everything.
All right, Liza, let's see if we can't answer a part of that for you. And, you know, as you stand there and you're holding on to those promises of God, that doesn't make you foolish. That doesn't make you less loving. But it makes you like the father in the parable of the lost son. Because the father kept going out every day to see if his son was coming home. Every day the father would go out. And then, you know, what happened there in verse 17 is the son came to his senses and said, how many of my father's hired servants have food to spare? And here I am starving to death. Unfortunately, I think for homosexuals, is they're trying to fill that God-sized hole in their hearts with something other than God, without something other than the love of Christ, without the forgiveness of that, and then being able to fill that hole with the Holy Spirit and thereby learn how to walk in the newness of life. Alex, you could hear the pain in Liza's voice, and I would simply encourage her to keep holding on.
Amen. You know, Proverbs 22:6, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. You know, for all of the kids that have gone prodigal, we've interviewed hundreds of parents who can tell testimonies of how the prodigals came home. Ma'am, don't give up. Keep praying.
Amen.
Keep trusting Jesus.
All right, folks, that's going to do it for today's edition of Exploring the Word. I would leave you with this encouragement. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The hope for everlasting life is real, and it's
Amen.
Found in Christ. Have a great Amen. Afternoon. Alex, thanks for letting me hang out.
Thanks, Jim. Let's do it again tomorrow.
All right, brother. Folks, have a good afternoon. Tony Perkins comes your way next on American Family Radio.